This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Lively will get the opening day start for our Cleveland Guardians in Kansas City against the Kansas City Royals. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here. Andy Baskin over there. Ben Broussard just with us. He's going to be doing some TV for the MLB production coming up. Optimistic, Andy. He likes the look of the team.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not be optimistic on the first day of the season, right?
Dragging you to the line of optimism all dang day.
I think it's been the other way around. Like, I had to get you excited for this. Like, you kind of just walked in here this morning like, I did have a conversation with some folks. So, like, I think it's difficult when you're sitting here, you know the team's not going to be here for another, week and a half, almost 2 weeks before they have the home opener. I wonder if the ballpark's done. Has anyone checked in on the ballpark yet? See if it's finished.
It's still there.
See if it's going to be ready for opening day. But I think sometimes it's hard. And then finally, you got all the TV deals done early this morning. If you need more information on that, check out 92.3 The Fan to find out where you can watch the game. .com, I should say. And so make sure you go check that out if you're still trying to figure out where to watch the game a little bit later this afternoon. I do think sometimes it's hard to – you're like, oh, baseball season's here. It kind of like – you kind of ran into it rather than run to it. Because they're on the road, and I'll be excited. I'll be excited after I watch the game this afternoon. I'm excited now. I mean, look, they overachieved last year. I want to see if they can do that again this year, and I think it's a lot more fun to overachieve than it is to underachieve. So, you know, we know where.
Do you think?
Well, I'm just looking at the bar. look at the Cavs and look at the Guardians, right?
We stink. Oh, no, we suck again.
Oh, no, we are good. Okay. I like it. I mean, What are you supposed to do here? Like, they didn't make major moves. They didn't spend.
That's why I described their offseason as uninspiring yesterday.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Doesn't mean they can't be good. Doesn't mean that at all.
I don't know. I mean, if you're pumped for opening day, let me know. If you're meh on opening day, let me know. Because I hate to say it, but I think more fans are more.
Don't say it.
Let's wait and see. I want to look. I'm looking. I see you, but I may not be running to you. How's that sound? That's kind of where I feel like fans are with this team right now because it's just where we are.
All right, so we've been going over some opening day lineups.
Okay.
Just to get everybody in the mood because the opening day lineup's always a fun big deal. We're pumped about that. Again, Tanner Bibee not in it. Food poisoning. He's out. Ben Lively will get the start against the Royals. So we've been going back to key years in franchise history. Just to remind everybody, give some names, make you think, oh, yeah, remember that guy. The last opening day in the year of Cleveland Stadium. You ready for that one?
Yeah, what is 93? Right.
It was 1993.
Yep.
You are correct in that.
Hey, I've been pretty good on these so far, haven't I?
You have been. The game was at Cleveland Stadium. They lost to the New York Yankees 9-1, 1993, last year at the stadium. The starting lineup for our Cleveland Indians that day had Kenny Lofton in center field. Felix Fermin hitting second, playing shortstop. Thomas Howard later pinch hit for him. Carlos Baerga was at second base. In left field, a young man by the name of Albert Bell. Paul Sorrento.
Was he still Joey or was he Albert at that?
Albert Bell. Paul Sorrento hit fifth and played first base. Hard-hitting Reggie Jefferson was the DH, hitting sixth. Carlos Martinez at third base hit seventh. Glenn Allen Hill played right field and hit eighth. Sandy Alomar was your starting catcher that day, and he hit ninth. On the mound, Charles Nagy getting the start, followed in relief by Kevin Wickander, the Calahuga kid, Dennis Cook, Eric Plunk, and Derek Lilliquist. And Charlie got roughed up. He gave up 7 earned, 11 hits, and 5 2/3. They lost 9-1. Last home opener, opening day, actually was the opening day, at Cleveland Stadium. So there's that.
I don't look who else was on that roster, though, that year, right?
So that was the beginnings.
Yeah, Nagy.
It was the beginning.
Tomey.
Tomey was on and off the roster. He was up and down like crazy.
Or Thome, as our general manager at the time thought his name was?
Thome.
Thome, that's what it was. Thome, yeah.
Yeah, Jim Thome.
We'll get it fixed.
He did. He did get it fixed.
Candy Maldonado.
Well, while you're doing that, let's advance to go 1 year. The next year, they open up the brand new ballpark.
Okay.
Opening day in the brand new ballpark.
Wow, look at us. We're
trivia.
Flying.
Don't look at it, Andy.
All right, I definitely won't look at it,
Who started at third base in the first game ever?
Was it Jim?
At Jacobs Field.
Was it Tomey?
Hitting leadoff was Kenny Lofton. Omar Vizquel had been acquired. He was hitting second, playing shortstop. So Omar was never an Indian in the old place.
Right.
Carlos was at second. Albert was the cleanup hitter.
Okay.
Eddie Murray played first base in that first game. Candy Maldonado hit fifth and was the DH. Paul Sorrento then a pinch hit for him. The catcher that day, Sandy Alomar.
Sure.
He hit seventh, hitting eighth, this young kid named Manny Ramirez.
Oh.
Playing right field. Manny Ramirez
hitting eighth.
And at third base, in the first game ever, at Jacobs Field, the pride of Hamilton, Ohio, Mark Lewis.
Oh, Mark Lewis.
Later on, a gentleman named Jim Thome did pinch hit for Mark Lewis. But they were going up against Randy Johnson, and they didn't want Jim, the lefty, to face Randy Johnson, so he didn't. Dennis Martinez was the starting pitcher. I had to think, really? Who relieved Dennis Martinez in the first game ever at Jacobs Field? Russ Swan. Followed by Jose Mesa, who wasn't the closer yet. Derek Lilliquist, I guess he was. He was that year. Derek Lilliquist and Eric Plunk. Mm. And, of course, Wayne Kirby did the heroics, and 4-3, Indians won the first game ever at Jacobs Field.
Who else was on that roster that's still extremely active in Major League Baseball that we don't really ever... So remember how I was talking about how there's such this huge influence?
Yes.
Across Major League Baseball? One of the guys on that roster was Jerry DePoto.
Jerry DePoto.
Who is now in Seattle.
And has been for some time.
Yeah, who's been running
the
show
with
in
the
Seattle.
Angels as well before that.
And Diamondbacks. And Red Sox, too. I mean, he's been around. So, but... You know, so we were
Jerry
talking.
Jerry was a really nice guy, and he overcame cancer. He had a big cancer fight.
He actually, and then he hired the guy who's kind of like the general manager spot, same as was it Justin Hollander, the guy who went, he was an Ohio State guy that he ended up taking out there. But when you look through the rosters and you look at the front offices of Major League Baseball, like a third of these teams, I was looking at managers and just general managers.
Let's hear them.
Well, like Craig Breslow. Denny Hazen, obviously Chernoff.
These are front office guys.
Russ Atkins, David Stearns, Peter Bendix is from Cleveland originally. And he's in Miami.
The Marlins.
So Bill Schmidt, who's out in Colorado, is one. And then if you want to go into the manager side of this thing, I don't want to miss anybody. Alex Cora, Matt Q in Kansas City on the other side was here. Aaron Boone obviously played here for a little while. Kevin Cash, has a tie here. And then you go over and look at the National League, Dave Roberts and Derek Shelton. I mean, was here for a while, was on Eric Wedge's staff. Who else? Bud Black, right? Bud Black is another guy that spent time here. Obviously, Terry Francona and then Torrey Lovello. So there are, of the 30 managers in Major League Baseball, 10 of them has had some kind of tie here to Cleveland.
You mentioned Alex Cora.
Mm-hmm.
30-second Alex Cora story.
Here we go.
Back in the day, I was asked to go speak with somebody from the Indians out at Beechwood in the schools.
Okay.
And had to be there at like 9 o'clock. And I got there like 15 minutes early. And, you know, it's a chore to get pro athletes to be out at things like this sometimes, right?
Pro athletes don't want to be there. It's a chore. Yeah, the ones that do want to be there, because we don't give them enough credit.
I get there at about 15 minutes early, okay? I walk in where they tell me to go, and I walk in, and there sits Alex Cora, already there. And I said, hey, Alex, you know, how's it going? Good to see you, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you're nice and early. And he said, Jeff, when I commit to do something, I do it, and I mean it, and I show up, because this is important for those kids. This is the chance that they have to meet a Major League Baseball player, and I live up to my obligations. Really happy to be here. And I show up early. And I thought, dang, man, you're going to be in management somewhere. And by golly, he is. You know, if you bought a ticket, plane ticket, ticket to get into the stadium in Kansas City to see Tanner Bibee, he's not going to pitch today. Robert in Brecksville is in Kansas City for the game. Robert, get ready for Ben Lively, buddy.
Oh, get ready for Ben Lively. More like getting ready for history. I'm calling a perfect game tonight.
Yeah.
By Ben Lively?
It doesn't matter who. Throw Tyler Naquin. I don't care.
Okay. They don't do perfect games anymore because the starter doesn't go the whole time.
I just wanted to call in. This is my third consecutive opening day game I've attended, in Cleveland in 2020, or Seattle in 23, Oakland last year. So I just wanted to call in and call you from Kansas City and tell you the tailgating scene here is insane. It's like the muni lot.
Yeah.
Stadium's already open. So.
Have you stopped by anybody's tailgate there that you don't know and they've been pretty cool with you?
And giving you barbecue?
I haven't walked through it yet. I just sat down and there's a World War II veteran I'm talking with once I get off the phone. But once I'm done with him, I'm going to walk around for a bit.
Outstanding.
And, yeah.
Did you fly or did you drive your...
I flew. I landed about an hour ago, and then when the game's over, I got a 7:30 flight headed home.
That's a tight time frame. Good luck. Robert, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I'll make it. Yep.
There's Robert in Brecksville. That's tight. He has a 7:30 flight. Game starts at 3:10 local time. That's tight, Andy.
Well, he's got a time change, though, too. Wait, what time did you say it was?
I said 3:10 local time. I think I said 3:30. 3:10 local time, 4:10 our time.
I don't know. The funny part about it's not really funny, but whenever I think about Kansas City, I always think about Kyle Denny and the day. But they don't even do this anymore. Do you remember the when they used to make the rookies dress up?
Yes.
Okay.
And carry like the little kids' bags and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember. Like 04, probably when this has happened. So Kyle Denny's dressed up. And I think they made him, I think it was CeCe bought him the costume and he had to dress up. I think it was like Supergirl. He was wearing a Supergirl.
Well, sure.
And there were like, he had to wear go-go boots and there was plastic.
Sure.
They were plastic. Do you know the story?
Did he sprain his ankle?
You know, he's telling me to stop. I got to hurry. You want me to tell you the story, the rest of it on the other side? I think you know.
Boy, I can't wait.
It's a good story. What do you want?
And it's next on Baskin and Phelps, apparently. It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. It's opening day, everybody. It's opening day. Andy's in mid-story.
Oh, so anyway, we're talking about Kansas City, and the one thing I was thinking about is the freeway that runs on the outside, which I think is 70. And so we were leaving. It was the rookie trip, and I was corrected already. He wasn't dressed as Supergirl. He was dressed as a USC cheerleader. It was Kyle Denny, the pitcher. And I remember leaving. So the media always left. We were on the first bus to get back to the airport. So we were on bus one, and then some of the players who got on later, they were on bus two. And I remember hearing on bus one, they were like, hey, somebody just got shot on bus two. And I was like, what? And we turned around, and what happened was there was like some random bullet that was, I have no idea what happened, but it pierced the bottom of the bus and went into Kyle Denny's leg. And the go-go boots that he was wearing, because he was dressed like a USC cheerleader, because it was like rookie hazing day, and so that they always had to get on the plane, they were always dressed in like Halloween costumes. It was always funny. So, but the good thing is that because he was wearing that plastic boot, it sucked up all the energy from the bullet that had already come through the bottom of the tour bus, and it went into his leg, and they were able to kind of, the trainer was awesome at the time. He said he walked right over to it, he saw that there was a little bullet in his leg, and he just kind of popped it right back out and got the bullet out of his leg. I don't know why, but every time I see that wide shot of Kansas City, whether it's a Chiefs game or it's a Royals game, I always think of the freeway by there, and I'll never forget Kyle Denny in that day. There you go. There's my story.
There it is.
I kind of cleaned it up. I could have told a little different, but that's all right.
Ball players in USC cheerleader outfits getting shot. That's a good story, actually. We're going over opening day lineups. It's opening day. We're in the baseball spirit. We're in the baseball spirit. I picked some key years in franchise history. We go to 1995. Andy, why was that key?
Oh, are you kidding? Another World Series year.
There it was. Yeah. Actually, the first one since 1954. So it had been a while, correct?
Yes,
correct. And they didn't even win it in 54 or in 95. But the Indians opened at the ballpark in Arlington. It was April 27th, 1995, and remember, delayed because of the, you know, the player work situation, right?
Right.
So it was all delayed, and they played, 144 games that season. The lineup, folks, near and dear to your heart, this is the crew that almost did it all. Leading off, Kenny Lofton, Omar Vizquel hit second, Carlos Baerga, Albert Bell cleanup, Eddie Murray, the DH, Jim Thome was at third base, followed by Manny Ramirez. Think about that. Those guys hitting sixth and seventh. Manny went 4-for-5 that day. Paul Sorrento was at first base. Tony Pena was the catcher. On the mound, Dennis Martinez, followed by Dennis Cook and Eric Plunk. And they beat up the Texas Rangers in a sign of things to come. 11-6 in 1995, when the Indians won 100 games and lost 44. There you go. I'm optimistic like crazy that this team has a starting shortstop in Brian Rocchio. Last year, he had some offensive issues for a while. His defense was really good all year long. Brian can play defense. He found himself in the playoffs, as we know. And my guess is he's going to be more like the playoff hitter than he was like the hitter he was for most of the regular season.
I'm a huge fan of that, Brian Rocchio. Huge fan of his. How awesome was that? How much fun was that during the playoffs last year?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, he was one of the better offensive players on the team in the postseason. Are you comfortable with him as your shortstop?
Yeah, I am right now. Why wouldn't I be? I mean, the bright lights were on at the end of the season last year. And, you know, he had over 300 in the playoffs. He had 333 in the playoffs last year, as a matter of fact. And, I mean,
When he came to the plate in the playoffs, he actually felt pretty good.
Because I remember during the regular season, I'm like, what's Rocchio going to do? And then, you know, you watch somebody and then you start to believe in them. And I think he believed in himself at the end there during the playoffs. So if you can give me postseason Brian Rocchio, I'm a fan. I'll be a fan for a long time.
I think if you get even close to postseason Brian Rocchio, you're going to be a fan for a long time. He's got a big-time glove. I am curious to see what happens without Andrés Giménez at second base. Because you put a guy like that next to any shortstop, and it's going to make the shortstop look good too, because that helps you, you know, turning double plays and everything else up the middle. Giménez is terrific. I think Gabe Arias is a pretty good defensive player as well. Now, he's not going to be Giménez at second base. Anybody who thinks that, I think go ahead and dismiss that notion, because Giménez is that good. But I think Arias can certainly play the position well, Andy. I don't see any issues there. Can he swing the bat as well as Giménez, which is why he's not here anymore, because he didn't swing it well enough to justify what was coming in that contract.
I don't know. I still feel second base is loose right now. We're not really going to know second base until a month into the season.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. It's okay, though. I mean, it's why they play 162. You can have some mistakes along the way. Hopefully it's not a mistake. Hopefully they made the right decision. It gets cold really fast, though, when you leave Arizona and you start playing. I mean, even in Kansas City. I don't know. The weather's supposed to be pretty good in Kansas City today.
You'd mentioned that earlier.
Well, earlier this week I saw that. I'm just not sure what it's supposed to be today. The weekend looked pretty good there. Maybe rain on Saturday, I thought. I saw in the original forecast.
They'll figure it out, won't they?
Or I can figure it out for you in about 5 seconds.
Oh, good.
71 today.
Good.
High of 81, though. Winds 9 miles an hour, humidity at 41%. Mostly sunny right now.
Mostly sunny. In Kansas City?
In Kansas City, Mo. Not Kansas City, Kansas. Kansas City, Mo.
Kansas City, Mo.
Rain over the weekend, though. So they're off. They play today, 81. Off tomorrow, 75. And then Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is still supposed to be almost 80. And then Sunday, 52.
Oh, that's warm. How comfortable are you with Bo Naylor at catcher? I don't think this team needed to go out and add a catcher in the offseason. No. I don't. I think Bo more than deserves another year. I mean, they invested a first-round pick in the guy. And he did show some pop last year, which I appreciate. And he's shown a little pop since he's been in the majors. I just think now's the time to show that you can hit consistently, you tell me, 240? I mean, I'm not even setting the bar very high. If you can hit 240 and be pretty decent behind the plate.
You're asking him to raise his average almost 30 points, though, doing this. So.
Well, I know that. 40 points from last year.
Well, he hit 211. What are you asking for?
He hit 201 last year.
Oh, I'm saying career-wise, he's a 211.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spring training, he was under 200. But, I mean, he had 51 at-bats. So,
I think he can be a better hitter than what he's been. I don't think that this is a guy who is stuck at that level. That said, until you show that you're not stuck at that level, you're stuck at that level. You know?
Yeah.
So I do understand some of the concern people have. I'm really willing, in my mind, give him 400 at-bats this year. And Austin Hedges will play when Bo Naylor needs a day off. And though I like Austin Hedges defensively, you know, Austin can hit the ball out of the park once in a while, but Austin doesn't hit real well at this point in his career. And so I don't want to see anything that resembles a platoon. I want to see Bo Naylor as the starting catcher and getting a lot of games.
Yeah, I'm looking back at some of his minor league numbers, and I think you're right, Jeff. Like, I think 230, 240 should be, if he can hit somewhere around there.
That's not any great shakes.
No, but, I mean, traditionally, what his best season was, he was 18, he hit 274, but he was rookie league in Arizona. It was only 33 games. So, he did hit 263 when he was splitting time between Lake County and Akron.
Oh,
in Columbus.
That's swell.
I'm sorry, between Columbus and Akron when he was 22. But he's got a couple years under his belt. I think this is an important year for him. Let's just put it that way.
I think he showed last year and even the year before, he's got some pop. It's a matter of contact for him. You know, if he can make better contact, then I think you're going to have something. Strikeout's a little bit of an issue, but again, at that position on this team, you have to be good defensively. I don't think he's as good as Austin Hedges defensively. I think he needs to continue to improve behind the plate. But if he can do that and he can pick up that batting average a little bit, Andy, I think you ought to be okay. 123 games played last year. If he can get to 130 this year, you know, certainly stay in that range if nothing else.
Yeah, it's how he looks at the season, how they approach it. What's the game plan with him? I think, you know, fans are rooting for him. There's no question about it.
Oh, of course.
I think he's a
seems really, like a nice kid.
Yeah, he's a well-liked player, especially when you're sitting outside the field. And I think people want him to have success. So,
and it's different for him this year. And I wonder,
without his brother, right?
Yeah, I wonder if it's a good or a bad thing.
We're about to find out pretty quick. Yeah. I just feel like I think he thinks this is his time now.
And he understands without his brother being here. Everything I've heard about what happened there and everything else, the thought between the Naylor brothers has been, hey, this is the business of baseball.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like you traded my brother. I don't think you're going to have that issue. And in fact, is this fair? Maybe without Josh here, as great as it was for the brothers to play together from a family standpoint and everything else, maybe it gives Bo the opportunity to grow and become more of a force in the locker room and everything else because he's nobody's little brother anymore.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, I the stuff I've been hearing about, you know, coming out of spring training and stuff that you might have read, I think this is it's a big year for him, not only on the field, not only at the plate, but to step out and be a clubhouse guy, the guy that leads the clubhouse. And that's the guy you need to have. I mean, if your catcher
get
is
on
running
that way
the show,
anyway. Yeah.
Right? If your catcher's running the show, then you're in good shape.
I would agree with that. Chris is in Cleveland. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you again.
And you.
Just a quick question. Do you guys think we'll see Travis Bazzano this year, and how you think he'll do?
Chris, thanks.
I'll say I want to see him this year.
I know you want to see him. I'm not holding out hope that you're going to see him this year. I think to see him this year, a couple of things will have to happen. He'll have to be on fire in the minors. I mean, if he's hitting, you know, just an ordinary batting average, ordinary on base percentage, I don't think you're going to see him. He might get kicked up to AAA this year. I think that would be really good. If he could make it to AAA this year, 1 year out of college, he's probably starting in AA Akron, right?
Yeah, I mean, but he's got 3 years of college. I mean, it's not like...
I know, Andy, but a lot of guys do. Though I would love to see him be one of those guys who can step in 1 year out of college and go for it, you've got a lot on the line here. And you have Gabe Arias and Juan Brito and Daniel Schneeman and Angel Martinez who can hold down second base. In this case, err on the side of not letting him get too overmatched. But if he's doing okay, Chris, I'd love to see him up here. I'm just going to be really patient on that. And Andy's rolling his eyes.
I'm just saying he's still, well, let's go back and look at the history of the Guardians Indians and their number one overall picks. Okay, now that's over. Here he is. We finally get to see this opportunity. I think it's going to be interesting.
It's Baskin and Phelps on the Fan.